And so on to cultural policy. And again, there's the grid where we get the idea that events could be used to make full use of cultural resources, maximise venue efficiency, that sort of thing. Can also be used to foster arts and cultural development through investment in events, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's what you're aiming to do, and how are you going to try and do that? Well, maybe there's a space for greater use of cultural programming in terms of you know, a whole variety of events, from sports events through to business and corporate and exhibition and conference events, that sort of thing. Certainly a reflection that festivals and events have a big part to play in the culture of a society or a civilization. And we had a look at that in a series of policy and public sector related documents and examples. So things like the McMaster Review and the DCMS Passion for Excellence report, which feature in slides 20 and 21 of the revision bundle, reflecting the idea there that these public sector advocates and organisations and funders and investment bodies, they have a specific set of aims, things they want to work towards. You know, is there the opportunity there for you to position your event or your venue or your organisation, your theatre company? Can you position them so that they can fit in with this set of objectives? Bringing it closer to Scotland, we have in slides 22 and 23 Creative Scotland, you know, the formation of this relatively new public sector agency. Designed to support Scotland's creative industries and you know, through working with partners and so on. And we can see some of this reflected in a very politicised, party politicised way with the SNP manifesto for 2011, bearing in mind that they are now the absolute majority government in Scotland. So, you know, what they say counts. So an understanding there that you know, festivals and events can be potentially used in different cultural ways, and agencies off the back of that designed to help with some of that communication between partners, maybe through networking, maybe through the research that they do, thus, you know, kickstarting conversations and informing those conversations with some evidence in which to, you know, back up that evidence-based policy. They will also have their own set of objectives, these agencies, and so on. But in a cultural setting, then, yeah, there does seem to be a real place for festivals and events to try and work towards those public sector goals. The theory sets it out, you know, in things like Goetz's diagram, and the policy documents are there to have a look at as well. Now, do we see a competition here between the cultural side of things and the economic policy goals that have already been discussed? Well, you might say that artists are not there to bring in additional economic benefits. The artists are there to produce art for its own sake, culture for its own sake. One of the arguments, one of the discussions we looked at later was the reflection of that, in terms of what the Eventful Cities text tells us. But maybe the flip side argument is that culture exists within its broader context, within its social context, and therefore there needs to be that kind of negotiation both ways. So much to dwell on there. The next topic in the next podcast will be related to social policy.